judgment, how we're treating people, what we're doing in the lives of other people. We don't want to leave that undone. We want to make sure that we complete all the aspects of what God is asking us to do, okay? So this morning, we just want to make sure that we are not leaving things undone as we are striving to do things. So I hope that you are striving this year to be tithing better and doing more tithing and offering giving. And I hope you're also striving this year to be more involved in mercy and judgment and grace and those weightier things of the law according to the scripture, okay? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray over this tithe and offering, God. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon your people, Father. Lord, I just believe that this year you're going to show yourself so real to them, God, in a deeper way than ever before, Father. And Lord, I know how your love is being poured out to us each and every day, God. And I just declare your blessing over this tithe and offering. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to get started here. And, you know, the first I just want to say a few things to you is that I'm not going to give you some big prophecy like you're going to get on television. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to tell you that I'm not afraid to tell you that I believe that we're going to see many great things in this year. I believe that God is going to do many great things for each of us in this year coming up ahead of us. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to get ourselves so caught up in television and everything else that's out there that we make ourselves so worried and so stressed that we don't allow ourselves to hear what God is trying to say to us, okay? You know, the Bible says that our Lord and Savior Jesus, when he came, he became the author of a better covenant, amen? And what that means is that we have a right, each and every one of us, to make sure that we tune right into Jesus and hear directly what the Lord wants to say to us, okay? And when we get this opportunity, it means that for us, we need to make sure that we walk in these things and we walk in what God is saying to us. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, there's three things I want to make sure that I tell you out of this scripture is that I hope you know without a doubt who the thief is. The thief is the devil. And it says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His ultimate goal against every one of us, you as an individual, me as an individual, his ultimate goal is that he would like to snuff us out. But you better make sure that you're aware of the fact that he also will steal and destroy as much as he can from you in the process till he meets his ultimate goal. And we cannot afford to allow him to do that. And sometimes when we get into a situation where we have a hardship or a difficulty, we'll allow that to overtake us. And if we're not careful, we'll concentrate on it until it just gives him more and more power to hurt us, and we don't want to do that. And then the other thing here is that I want you to realize that the Bible says here that it says that, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I want to caution you real quick here and just mention to you that scripture says may have it for a reason. May have it more abundantly for a reason. And that reason isn't because the Lord is indecisive on it. Without a doubt, the Lord has given you abundant life, but are you going to take it? And so that question there, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The only question about that may is, will you grab a hold of it and believe that God has come that you might have more abundant life? Will you grab a hold of it, and then will you activate yourself to start taking action steps that are in tune with what it takes for us to be believers that walk in the covenant grace of God and his ability to walk with us through the things called life? You know, I want to talk to you just for a minute about the fact that there is a group of young men in the book of Daniel called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I hope you know this story, but in this story, these young men are young men that are young Israelite boys, and they have been put in this nation. And while they were put in this nation, there was other people around who understood that they served God. And so they made some rules there against serving God. And what happened was that these guys made a decision that, hey, I can't not serve God. And I tell you what's going to be critical for us from this day forward is to make sure that we never make a decision that we can't serve God. We're going to have to make a decision no matter what the world does and no matter what people decide to do. We're going to have to make our decision, say, hey, I'm going to serve God, and I'm really not going to care if people know about it. Amen? You know, one thing that we have done in the past is I have seen Christians do it my whole life. They're okay letting a few people in their church know that they're Christian. But boy, when they're at work or when they're out in public, buddy, they don't like to let anybody know that they're Christians. Well, you know what? I don't want you to go and work and fall on the ground and start praying in tongues. That's not what I'm asking you to do. But I do want you to be someone who's willing to pray to the degree that people know, hey, if I need prayer, I can go right there. If I need prayer, I can go right over there. And I tell you what, people should be approaching you to be prayed for. People should be looking at you because of your faith. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that people should be coming to you for the hope and having a reason for how do you have such hope? Why do you have such a positive attitude? And people should be coming to you because you are someone who's pursuing God in such a way that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But anyhow, these young men were boys that had done that. And what happened was, I'll just tell you the story, is that these young men had pursued God in such a way that they were so committed to their relationship that it came upon a time where their nation decided that they were going to make it something criminal to serve God without serving the king's gods. And so these young boys came up into this situation, and the king came to them and said, hey, I've heard that you do not want to serve my gods and serve the stuff that I have put out before you. And these young boys said, oh, king, we're not careful with what our decision is. Not only will we not serve them, but we believe our God will liberate us. But even if our God doesn't liberate us, we will not serve the stuff that you've put out there that goes against what we believe. You know, it's a good thing that we don't have a king in this country and all that kind of stuff. But what I want to know is, have we really made the decision in our heart that we're not going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ no matter what? And are we strong enough, even if we had someone around us that opposed the idea of who Jesus is, are we strong enough to keep our faith? Are we strong enough to say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to change what I believe or what I believe in because of who you are, what you think. So needless to say, these three little young boys ended up in a fire. The king was so mad, he threw them in the fire. And it says all of a sudden that while the king himself was watching, he looked in and said, "My goodness, I see four men walking around, and they're not hurt." And here's what's so interesting about it. Sometimes we don't talk about this part. But do you know what happened when the king realized that they were in there walking around with a fourth man that looked like the Son of God? He backed up from his position. Not only did he pull them four young men out, or those three men out of there, but he said, "Hey, from now on, I have made a mistake. And from now on, nobody will talk about their God. Nobody will touch their God. And from now on, in this nation, we're going to serve their God from now on." I want to just ask you a question. Are we serving God today in such a day, in such a way that we could see him do such works that people want to serve him? Are we asking ourselves, what more can we do to be a part of the gospel, and what more can we do to see more outcome from God? I want you to know something, that every generation has within it not only people. See, right here, this group of people. Not only do we have the potential to see the Lord do great things in our life, but guess what? God has the expectation that we will. See, it's not just about what we want. I'm telling you right now that your Father in heaven is sitting there and he desires to do great things in your life. He desires to help us. He desires to move on our behalf. He desires to come in and do what's possible to be done for us. You know, I want you to know that in 1 John 5:4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Wow. The Bible says that the victory that overcomes the world is your faith. Did you know that your faith has enough power in it to overcome the world? Did you know that your faith is meant to build things, to see things happen? Did you know that your faith is meant for you to still do great things even in the future? Every one of us in here needs to still be thinking about what next we're going to see from God. See, when we've completed something, or if we're sitting here and we've gone so far and we've already got some things done, hey, it's time for us to be refreshing. So it is that writing board, that vision board, that dream board. It needs to be refreshed and it needs to be written on again. And I'm telling you right now that the Lord wants you to get started with him on what you have next to do. Ooh. You know, I want you to know something, that there are both little things that we can do, and everything doesn't have to be a big thing that we can do. Because I want you to know that sometimes just getting consistency in reading your Bible, consistency in your prayer life, consistency in the idea of writing things down that you can believe God for, those little things will spark big things. God would like to see you just start with something little. Some consistency. Hey, I haven't been reading my Bible because of this. Well, just start little. I haven't been giving God prayer time because of this. Well, just start with prayer time. Because each one of those things that you start with will lead you to something big and something great and something that God will do on your behalf. And I'm going to give you just an example of this, because we remember David and how he became a great king. But before David was a king, he was just a shepherd boy, wasn't he? And what happened was that the prophet had come and anointed him and his brothers. And even though that had happened, when there was a time of war called and David's brothers went to war, he stayed home looking over the little sheep. And what happened when David was sitting there looking over the sheep and being faithful over the little? Now, you know what? He could have threw a fit, King David could have. He could have threw a fit. He could have got mad. He could have said, I'm done doing these stupid little shepherd boy duties. I'm done with this stuff. And he could have got mad about it. But good things he didn't, because guess what? While he was being a shepherd, his father came to him and said, hey, I want you to take some resources down to your brothers who are at war. And it was only because he stayed faithful, and it was only because he did the little stuff that he was in a position to receive some directions that sent him on the big journey. And so I want you to know that David went down to see what was going on with his brothers, and he delivered everything. And just like brothers do, they weren't all happy that he showed up. Praise God. But what was so powerful is that when David was there, David was sitting there, and all of a sudden, he hears the word that this big Goliath giant is taking over and doing things and has the people of God just terrified, because the Philistines were going to fight the Israelites, and they had not done nothing in 40 days because they were paralyzed with this big Goliath, the giant, that was coming out. And he'd say, hey, I want to fight one of you guys. And if I win, whoever I defeat, if I kill them, you get to be slaves to us. If he beats me, then we'll be slaves to you guys. And David just happened to be there at the right time because everybody else was scared. See, you never know when your day is. You never know when your day is. And you never know when you're going to be called upon. And so here's what I want you to know, is that here was David, and he was there, not even at a time where he was assigned to be there, but he was the only one at that time that would step up. I mean, all of Israel was terrified of Goliath, and they're all hiding. And here comes David, who's just a shepherd boy, and David steps up and goes to the king and says, I do not want one man's heart to fail because of this Philistine. Wow. How many times do you and I take on the regard of someone else's heart? How many times is you and I, our regard for somebody else causing us to do something? He says, I don't want one man's heart to fail because of this Philistine. And all of a sudden, David came forth, and King Saul gave him some equipment, and David tried to put it on, didn't he? And he put on the all this stuff that they use, and all of a sudden he went back to King David, King Saul, he said, Saul, I can't use this. Man, this is not something I've tested. He said, but I can tell you what happened when I went up against the lion and the bear and da 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 da. And so all of a sudden we find out what David was really confident in and what David was really, really, really. Thank you, babe. We found out what David really was confident in, because Saul came back and asked him, he said, man, I cannot wear this stuff you've given me, King Saul. He said, because I can't go out there with this armor as my guard. He says, I'm going out there with what I know, and that's God. And even when David went before Goliath, who was this big giant, David comes before him, and David says to him, Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a shield and a spear. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. You know what, folks? I want you to understand something. We have got to make sure that every time we are doing something this year, we're going about it in the name of the Lord. It is time for us as Christians to make sure that we're erasing any other way of approach other than Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter what we're pursuing. It doesn't matter what we're going after. It does matter that when we pursue it, we go after it in the name of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to have to make sure that what we're pursuing is something that the Lord will allow us to pursue. Amen. You know, even what we get involved in should be gotten involved in by prayer and by seeking out God and by knowing what the Lord would have us do. Amen. And as we pursue things in the Lord, and as we do things in the Lord, then that is what's going to cause us to see His goodness and see His greatness. Amen. You know, the Bible says what? Come boldly before my throne of grace so that you can receive mercy and help in your time of need. Amen. You know, there's just things, Christians, that sometimes we have forgotten what's available to us. And if we're not careful, we'll be doing too much work on our own energy. Remember, David said, I don't come to you in my name and my power and my ability. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you that for this year, one of the things I really hear the Lord telling me to tell people is that make sure that as Christians, you're not putting so much energy in that you're missing me on what you're doing. Be in pursuit. Get involved in things. But make sure that the challenge is that you're bringing everything through me. Amen? Woo. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, I know it might not have been long, but it's what I have today. And I believe that it was very good, and I believe that it's something that was right in our spirit. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your glory, your blessing, and your empowerment upon your people, Father. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Father, Lord, would be in pursuit of you. God, we'd have our heart open to you. Lord, that visions and dreams would come upon us, God, and that they would be things that are coming from you, and we would know what to do because you're with us, Lord. And Father, I just declare your blessing upon your people today, and I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Right now, Lord, we pray for the Craig family. Father, that they would be feeling healthy and strong, God. Whatever's hindering them, God. Whatever's coming against them, Father, Lord, we just speak life. We speak healing. We speak the refreshing, healing power of Jesus to move in and to bring wholeness, and we thank you for it. Lord, we pray for Tina and Larry right now, Father. And Lord, we pray that sickness would leave them and leave their house, God. Lord, we pray that healing and health would come upon them and that they would just be blessed, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, Lord, we pray for the Smith family as they travel home, Lord. We pray for safety. And we pray for them to be able to get through any difficult weather safely, Father, and to get home safe and sound, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I will be up here for anybody that needs prayer. Huh? Oh, yeah. If you need prayer, I want you to come up here because I'll be available to you, for you. And God bless you, and we love you, and have a super good day.